WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Olding. Are almost 2 years since the massacre at Robb Elementary. Authorities in Uvalde, Texas, reached a settlement with the families of the victims. It includes $2 million in payments and promises to better train police.
These were the last lines of defense for these children, but they were failed long before the shooting.
Attorney Josh Koskoff represented the families of the 19 students and two teachers killed. Former presidential candidate Nikki Haley told a conservative think tank that she'll vote for former President Trump, saying President Biden has been, in her words, a catastrophe on a number of issues. The judge overseeing Mr. Trump's classified documents case heard two motions today to dismiss the charges against the former president's co-defendant and chief aide, Walt Nauta. A Michigan farm worker is the second person in the U.S. to be infected with bird flu. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. People across Wisconsin are waking up to power outages, downed trees, and other storm damage. In the Madison area, more than 40,000 people lost power. In Green Bay, roofs were ripped off buildings. A few thousand are without power this morning in the Eau Claire area. This list just goes on and on. While there were tornado warnings throughout the evening, straight-line winds are often responsible for the majority of this kind of damage. You'll want to leave yourself extra time as you drive the kids to school or head into work. And the Poet Laureate of the United States will be here in Wisconsin Thursday. Ada Limon was given the title in 2022. This is part of a series hosted by the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters. She'll be speaking at the Overture Center's Playhouse at 7, and tickets are still available. If you're not near Madison, there are watch parties statewide in Ashland, Eau Claire, Sheboygan, Verona, and Viroqua. For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Minnesota National Guard's 148th Fighter Wing will be deployed overseas this summer. According to a Northern News Now report, the Duluth-based Fighter Wing will be sent out on a regularly scheduled deployment, though officials did not say where it will be sent and how long the deployment will last. The 148th Fighter Wing features over 1,000 airmen who serve in a variety of fields and the F-16 Fighting Falcon and are trained to provide suppression and destruction of enemy air defenses. The first phase of a major road construction project in the city of Superior is underway. Road work on Hammond Avenue in Superior kicked off on Monday, closing traffic between Belknap and North 21st Street. The construction will include a new roadway, the installation of storm sewers and structures, and the addition of new pedestrian and bicycle facilities. Phase 1 is expected to be complete sometime around mid-October, and Phase 2 of the project will begin in 2025, closing North 21st Street to North 28th Street. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers win in Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It looked as if the Brewers were about to lose again when Christian Yelich was at bat, top of the eighth, against the team that traded him to Milwaukee, the Marlins.
1-1 line drive, base hit. Ball game is tied. Contreras might have a chance to score from first. He'll be sent around. Yelich on his way to third. He is safe at third with a two-run triple, and the Brewers have the lead. What a moment for Yelich in his former home.
Jeff Levering, Bally Sports. Yelich described what he saw.
I kind of got my doors blown off there with a sinker like the pitch before. That's how hitting goes sometimes. And then I was like, well, probably a good chance I'm going to see that again since I got beat by it so bad. And just really wanted to stay inside it, put a good swing on it. And fortunately, it got to the wall. William was able to score. And, you know, we kind of tacked on after that.
The Brewers went on to win 7-5. Manager Pat Murphy.
This guy's been doing it a long time. He was raised by the Marlins and they taught him well.
The series wraps up tonight with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray evening storm, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the mid-40s for tonight. Tomorrow, sunshine and highs in the low 70s. In the late afternoon and evening, some storms possible. More rain possible Thursday night and Friday. The wind starts to pick up as well. It cools down to the upper 60s for a high. It's 60 right
now. The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the Raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, the Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills, and on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, Todd Alba here. Join us next time as we welcome Jeff Timmer from the Lincoln Project in, looking at the day's headlines and also what's ahead for the Republican and Democratic state conventions. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it is. Educated educators talking education, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Right away, number 855-752-4842. You can call in before we even introduce a topic. Hey, in fact, you can call in and drive the conversation sometimes, Johnny, because here's the deal, right? We got a lot to, we're educated educators talking education. We got a lot to say, but nothing is more important than a listener out there who says, wait a minute, but I want to know about, or did you hear about? We encourage you right now. Not a problem. We do not mind being off task. Unlike some of the other classrooms you've been in where the teachers are driving you to be on task, Tim and Johnny, we're okay with going off task. In fact, we spend a large portion of our days off task. And in fact, finding us on task is usually something quite remarkable. I don't know, Johnny, what do you think?
I mean,
you got the look of going like, yeah, you got the look of going like, Tim, you might be talking about yourself, but not me, man.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think I get what you mean, too. I mean, you got to be open to the flow of the day, and the day isn't broken down into, you know, 40 minute, 30 minute, 20 minute, 15 minute integrals of like, well, you have to be on task in terms of like that whole control. And that sense of things. No, man, you got to ride the wave. You got to roll with the flow. And that's what we do. But to me, that is on task.
Okay.
You know, ride the wave. Be out there. Be wavy dudes here on the radio. Like, that's part of the whole vibe is your call. You as a listener having a question or having a thought, you know, kicking it our way is part of being on task, I would argue, Tim. Like, every day just looks a little different for some folks.
Sure.
And for me, when you start saying like you're all over the place, I'm like, bro, I'm a blue collar scholar, man. I get up, I get booted, I get suited, I punch my own kind of clock in terms of like, we got work to do. Here's the work list, and let's grind, man. Nah. Sandpaper finish, let's go.
So, sandpaper finish.
Yeah, man, it's not always smooth, and it's not always like fitting into, you know, 5 minute intervals of like really, you know, structured activity. You know, it's got to have. You got to be able to move through the chaos. And every classroom teacher knows that too, because oof, man, if you don't have a classroom that's a little bit chaotic, then young people are not engaged. Right. And
well,
so that
and
doesn't
I tell
mean
you what,
it's not chaotic control. Well, here's the,
it's not everything. But you know what? Who keeps us on task? Jess and Anya, producers.
Yeah.
Who are absolutely making sure that we stay where we're supposed to be, because actually we can't, you know, we have to stay a little bit on task here to make this show happen.
Oh,
hey,
crushing.
Johnny, you know what, to one of the best places too, I was thinking about this. If you're off task and you're looking for a, you're looking for a place to do and listen, download the Civic Media app and check out Busted Pencils, Minocqua Brewing Company. You know why?
Yeah, because you can cold crush it at
because
the
Busted Pencils. Yeah, because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer and maybe get yourself back on task. A couple beers at the Minocqua Brewing Company typically will bring anybody back to task. But more importantly, though, too, you're downloading that Civic Media app. You're listening to Busted Pencils. You're saying, I got to call them. Well, 855-752-4842 is the number to jump in and give us a call. Let us know what's happening out there, where you want to drive the discussion. Because, Johnny, I got a topic tonight, and you know, I know it's Educators Amplified Wednesday. We got a little note from Teacher Hallie that she's going to be a little bit behind. She's at a union meeting. That's okay. In fact, that's where we want her to be. She'll be coming in. Teacher Joanna has a graduation event tonight, so she's not going to be with us. But Teacher Hallie will be here. And I figured I wanted to pick a topic that maybe Teacher Hallie can help us really dig into. It's one that kind of drives me a bit crazy because I see this as something that is a real waste of time if this is why we're doing it. And what I'm talking about, Johnny, teaching kids mindfulness. Mindfulness, Johnny. Teaching kids. And I'm kind of concerned that we use mindfulness, at least according to the article in K-12 Dive. It seems to me that mindfulness is typically now being touted as a great compliance tool, a compliance tool. And that's where I'm thinking, you know, kind of given a little bit about us being off task, needing to pay attention. Do we need mindfulness to keep us back on task to pay attention? Or is the reality of the setting, as you point out, Johnny, so often, schooling versus education, schooling that compliance required behavior to be successful in schooling? Do we really want to be teaching kids mindfulness to be compliant?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Because what you're kind of proposing is like a word conundrum.
You're like, I know.
You're assuming that by teaching it or by requiring kids to participate in learning to self-regulate and learning to find a balance, come back to that, and it's a wavy day. You got to ride the wave, right? To have strategies. So I'm drawing from actual mindfulness curriculum, not like your packaged, yoga fixes everybody, appropriated wellness garbage. I'm not pulling from that, but really mindfulness practices, mindfulness based strategies for classrooms or even for life. You know, I think implementing those and empowering young people and yes, requiring that, like, hey, I want you to try some of these. Hey, I want you to learn about ways in which you can help regulate yourself in most situations. I think these are incredibly empowering skills. So yeah, I kind of don't see them as like forced compliance. Like, I think to me, that's mapped on. But yeah, I guess if states and districts are saying we're going to force this and we're going to put it into a standardized test, it sort of is like, well, that's not really actually practicing mindfulness. So I think that's where you're going.
Yeah, that's where.
But I like the topic because those strategies are really helpful. And maybe they don't work for everybody, but they help balance and bring some practice to the classroom that is about like, how is our breathing? How are we feeling right now? How do we need to kind of get ourselves into a space of regulation? Or I know, Tim, you hate that word, but into a homeostasis of balance.
Whoa.
Rather than in fight or flight or freeze. Mm. And most schooling is about fight, flight, or freeze, or just kind of be doing what we expect students to do. Which is why when we started the show, Tim, when you were talking about being off track, I was like, well, if you're a teacher, you're used to students seeming like they're off track because moving around, you know, having the kind of freedom to be children is also part of, you know, what I think mindfulness, when you bring that up, is a helpful strategy in terms of that. Now it gets co-opted.
So okay.
I'm just waiting for it to end up on the Praxis exam or like in the bubble sheets. Like, do you know your five ways to be mindful? It's like, I can know that. Back to, I shared this example a bunch of times before, Tim. Like, I can teach kids how to make tea and they don't know how to make tea. Mm. I can have them memorizing mindfulness strategies and practices and they're not doing mindfulness. Okay. So that I do see that we could, if we try and force it into schooling model, schools as is, we're going to end up with that. Like, maybe we have some kids who know the answer, but don't know how to do this. And the whole point of mindfulness strategies and practices is to empower people to be well, to be able to be calm, to be able to be, you know, in resonance with one another and the situation they're in. Now, I'm taking up a lot of space, so I'm going to pass the mic in a second here, but I want to add one more thing, because in addition to that, we also have to have caution. And I think, Tim, this is what you're also, you know, bringing into light here, is maybe we shouldn't be calm in some of these situations. Like, don't tell me that, like, hey, I want you to do some mindfulness right now, but we're going to talk about, should teachers in our schools have guns? Like, you can't just say like, hey, you're going to have a calm reaction to this because we're going to talk about stuff that's actually not at all healthy to be calm about. So I do think it also gets used sometimes in a really white liberal way. Like, but we're going to be mindful. And you're like, are we though? Because shouldn't we be kind of freaking out? Because you're just giving us more information that's harmful, hurtful, and about enforcing schooling, not about empowering learners to be themselves, to be free, to sort of be in resonance with one another and develop as children do, right? Push boundaries, be curious, ask questions, move around, and sometimes be in dysregulation, but have adults around them who help them balance, right? So we've talked about it too many times, but I do worry also that sometimes it's like a Band-Aid on a bigger problem. Like, but now we have mindfulness curriculum. Do we though? And is that really, are we trying to console an actual like reaction to a deeper problem? Because maybe everyone's behavior is actually appropriate for what's happening in schools. So, you know, those are just two kind of takes on it. But I'm excited, Tim, because not only do we have each other here and Jess and Anya, but listeners and people watching, you can see we got Educators Amplified, Teacher Hallie in the house.
Yay! Hi! I'm sorry I'm late.
No, you're doing union stuff. That's important, yes, important stuff. So Hallie, have we teed this up for you enough here? You know, I know we're moving into where we're going to be done with our first segment, but we're talking mindfulness. We know that Educators Amplified, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna are always about particularly saying, you know, the emotional well-being of students. And here we are teaching mindfulness. And I'm kind of trying to problematize the whole idea here because I'm worried that it will be one more type of behavior management system. And, you know, go hit a little bit
well,
there.
Well, it'll get Frankensteined is what we call it, because, you know, many schools I've worked in were trauma informed, meaning that they understood what trauma was. But when you bring it into the system and when you try to bring well-being into a system that's not well or unwell, I don't know what kind of product or what kind of results you're actually going to see if we just put it into a system that's broken. So I don't feel optimistic. I can make a problem.
Thank you, Teacher Hallie. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded, educated, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education with a tongue tied. Yeah. Behavior management or mindfulness, or can we have both of them? More when we get back.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Yes, there are fighters left here for sure. Teacher Hallie, Dr. Johnny Zupinacci, Educated Educators Talking Education, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number, do we said, call us anytime, 855-752-4842. Mindfulness, controversial or critical issue, the push to incorporate mindfulness into school curricula. While mindfulness is often promoted as a tool to help students focus and reduce anxiety, we need to ask ourselves, are we missing the point? And boy, what a night to ask that question with Educators Amplified Teacher Hallie here. Teacher Hallie, mindfulness, curricula, behavior management, reducing stress and anxiety. Are we wasting our time?
No, I mean, so tell me this. So like, is this more like conceptual or like, is there somewhere, someone that is trying to implement this stuff?
Yeah. So the piece coming out of K-12 Dive highlights the reality, and they frame it to me. They frame it well by pointing out that, you know, children, school students, teachers, everybody, you know, the anxiety levels are higher than they've ever been. Mental health wellness is not good. Okay, so the framing is right there. And so one of the ways to address that mental instability is to help students understand how mindfulness can be used to help them in anxious moments try to make sense of the reality. But when you get deeper into the article, I get more concerned because it feels like the real end result of mindfulness feels like behavior control management systems that says to be successful in schooling today, you need to drop that stress. You need to reduce that anxiety because you need to pay attention and you need to behave because we got lots of learning to cover here, dude. So let's try some mindfulness to get you focused back on task.
Right. I mean, I feel like schools are kind of trying to piecemeal that right now. You know, like I always wonder, why are children more anxious than ever before? Why are children, you know, exhibiting these large mental health issues? And I always find it interesting that one, I don't know if people ask why, but two, how come we're never like, let's look at where they are 7 hours per day, 5 days a week. And how is that contributing to their mental health and well-being? Like, we just don't talk about it. We're just like, the kids are unwell. And so we'll just stick little Johnny.
Yeah, there he is.
Little Billy. I don't mean Johnny. We'll stick little Billy in the calming room and we'll make sure he's calm, but then hurry back to class because you've got reading to do. You know, like, I feel like people are trying to do that right now and we're not getting to the root of the problem.
The root of the problem. And check it out, though. This isn't the root of our problem. Caller Joanne, man, loving this. Caller Joanne, what's happening, our friend?
I'd like to bring in another theme that you have been touching on in these last weeks and related to what you're going through right now and Teacher Hallie's description of Frankenstein really does apply here. There are a number of companies that have developed mood analyses programs, AI enhanced new mood analysis that has been used in schools in some Asian nations, and it's almost a common theme in some schools in China that the faces of young students will be analyzed to whether or not their mood is upbeat, depressed, whatever, if they're on task or not. And of course, we can bring up all the biases, all the problems, and you, that you folks have ably analyzed through these last weeks in terms of AI. But it's still being done. It's being done right now because it's cheap and it's easy. And a teacher who has 40, 50, 60 kids in a classroom, as in some Asian nations, can just do a scan and find out who's depressed or who's off task. So again, I wanted to throw another monkey wrench into this whole amazing analysis. Thanks so much for this discussion.
Paula Joanne, we love when you throw that monkey wrench. Teacher Hallie's got that look of going, let me see.
I don't get it. Like, I don't, how do they do that?
Well, you got cameras in the classroom monitoring facial expressions, and there is artificial intelligence now deployed to monitor facial expressions that can then communicate real-time data to somebody who's looking at going, hey, Teacher Hallie and Teacher and Dr. Johnny, man, they look really sad right now, Dr. Tim. You should pay attention to them. Or, wow, Teacher Hallie looks really anxious right now. You should go over and give her some mindfulness tips to relieve her anxiety.
That, to me, just screams like you're going to get yourself into some very sticky situations. Honestly, because I'm like, my mad looks different than Johnny's mad, looks different than Tim's mad. Honestly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially if you think about like a first grade classroom, like some kids kick, some kids cry, some kids run, some kids sit and like quietly suppress it and bottle it all up.
Mm-hmm.
So like if the algorithm always says the one who's screaming, you know, swear words versus the kid who cry, you know, I think this will get sticky. I wouldn't recommend it.
I'm looking at Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, and he's like, no, I want to deploy some AI facial recognition in my classroom.
No, never did I ever say that. But I will say again, you know, some of this is like, hey, I'm going to sober up by drinking more beer. You know, it's packaging words together that don't fit together. They call that in English language arts classroom, an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Or like, you're stressed. You need mindfulness. Okay, great. Nothing about this space we're in, nothing about the structure that we're doing this in, or my reaction to it is conducive to what that actually is. You know, someone, I'm not an expert on this, but, you know, I've benefited from being a student in mindfulness curriculums and like really thinking about schools that are going to be trauma informed or designed in ways that meet the needs of children with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and some of that is informed by mindfulness-based practices. And those are actual things that I do see being co-opted into social emotional learning curriculums, packaged workbooks, you know, little things. And it's like, hey, because something is potentially effective or helpful, right? You have to be committed to the whole change. Like all of that stuff, even the ACEs stuff, we can't just say, hey, we have a lot of children with adverse childhood experiences. So here's some information about that. Now go back to your classroom and better understand your students. It's like, that's basically saying, I'm going to give you the words to call the problem you're already experiencing out. And in no way are we going to support any actual change to help support that. So I think there's really great things in mindfulness. They're not for everybody, but I think there's really great strategies. There's really great tools and practices, but I'm waiting for them to pop up in the bubble test, Tim. And it's like, that's not mindfulness, right? And so it's a worksheet. It's probably not mindfulness.
Well, and that's it. Mindfulness, not mindfulness, behavior compliance, busted pencils. Yeah, we're going to keep talking about it more when we get back.
Now to everything we've seen here, maybe even more. But I'm
Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A U.S. House committee takes up the bipartisan Kids Online Safety Act this week. Parents of children harmed by social media say greater protections are badly needed and long overdue. Deb Schmill's daughter died of an accidental overdose after she was bullied online.
It's going to be very upsetting to the parents, to so many people in this country who want to see this happen. They want to see big tech regulated. They don't want to see kids dying every day.
Tech companies are fighting sweeping change, citing free speech rights. All over Wisconsin, this year's Click It or Ticket campaign is underway. Memorial Day weekend is our unofficial start of summer, and every year, agencies and departments increase patrols around this time. All drivers and passengers are required by Wisconsin law to wear seatbelts while they travel. Click It or Ticket runs through June 2nd. For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A new blood donation center has officially opened in Duluth. According to a Northern News Now report, blood donors gathered outside Memorial Blood Center's new facility for its grand opening on Tuesday. The opening comes at a vital time for the city, as local officials have said for weeks they've been dealing with a shortage of blood donations. The new building will offer expanded capacity to keep up with demand as best it can, as well as a number of new amenities for donors. More information on their services is available online. Opening arguments began in a long unsolved Polk County murder trial on Monday. Earlier this year, authorities arrested Mary Jo Bailey of Arizona for the 1985 murder of Yvonne Menke outside of her apartment in St. Croix Falls. The criminal complaint alleges that Menke and Bailey were both dating the same man at the same time, and one of Menke's daughters took the witness stand after the opening arguments. Bailey's attorney argued that there was no DNA evidence to link her 81-year-old client to the crime. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with 60-second Showbiz Beat. And in people who do desperate things because they haven't had a hit record in years news, Kid Rock pulled a handgun out and started waving it around during an interview with a Rolling Stone reporter. According to a tweet from Rolling Stone on X Twitter, during the interview, Rock got more and more drunk and belligerent as he spouted racial slurs and shared what he thought was wrong with America, like immigration and the fact that no one buys his music anymore, and how come there aren't any more trust fund kids who change their names to make themselves more manly. As he left the interview, Rock, formerly known by his real name, Robert James Ritchie, asked the reporter to write a horrific article about him, saying it helps him. Rock's last top 40 hit was in 2008 and was a song that sampled three other songs. You can see why Robert James, probably RJ to his friends before he became famous, might seem a little testy. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray evening storm, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the mid-40s for tonight. Tomorrow, sunshine and highs in the low 70s. In the late afternoon and evening, some storms possible. More rain possible Thursday night and Friday. The wind starts to pick up as well. It cools down to the upper 60s for a high. It's 60 right
now. My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, our Women Win Wisconsin profile from Motherhood for Good visits with State Assembly Democratic leader Greta Neubauer.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Anyway, you want.
Yeah, there it is. That's the way it is all the time, anyway you want it. Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. People are like, wait, is that Journey? No, that's not Journey. That's Rise Against. It's a better version than the original. Yes, any way you want it. That's what we do. Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified. Dr. Johnny, Dr. Tim, we are, yeah, busting some pencils. Talking about mindfulness and the system of schooling and then the practice of mindfulness. And my issue here is that the practice, and I'll say that the practice of mindfulness is absolutely good stuff, great things to learn. I'm putting this out, though, as I get concerned about teaching mindfulness, though, to adjust and adapt to a sick system, and that we're not willing to do any of the work to adjust the system that's creating the need to use mindfulness to deal with the system instead of using mindfulness to actually achieve a better mental balance, a better mental health, a better way of understanding the world, is that mindfulness is co-opted here, Teacher Hallie.
Sorry.
No, I see. I see you.
Okay. Come with me on this journey that just
I got my shoes on.
Okay. So this concept of mindfulness that you keep saying, I think is deducing or like really not actually getting to like the well-being or regulation that I talk about. I feel like when we talk about mindfulness, we're still in the realm of like, right, the way that our society works on like individual achievement and individual betterment, like, right, and that's how the school system is set up, of like you are learning individually and you are trying to climb this ladder and reach success. So with mindfulness, you will do this, you know, meditation so that you can be better. So what I'm talking about, and this is why I know the system has to change, is that we have to look at things more collectively, of like, right, like, have you heard about like there's this concept of like the new happy, of like happiness isn't something that like you just go get and achieve, but in our frame of reference, that's what we think. Whereas new happy is more about like knowing who you are, what are your best gifts, and how do you serve in like the world, like a purpose space. Maybe I'm getting a little too philosophical, but stay with me. See, we're on a journey. But like this whole concept of like collectively coming together to like connect as humans, yes, because that's what we're missing, is what's going to actually meet the needs of children. You know, so, and you know, and so like that's why the larger system has to change. That it isn't like, now everybody lay down on their mats and do mindfulness because I told you. It's more of like we all agree to do this because we want to feel better and we know it's going to help us. So mindfulness still to me doesn't sound right, or like what I'm talking about.
Experiencing as it, or it's trying to be retrofit into a system. And I like what you're both talking about, Hallie and Tim here, is, you know, Tim, you're like, I see this all the time. And in fact, there's really great stuff on some mindfulness scholars and educators who have written about this. We can even have them on as guests or future talk about the show. But one, I'll try and boil down a little bit of their message is two things. One, it's being neoliberalized. Now that's one of those big fancy words that I'll blue collar scholar up. Tim, you described it. Basically, we're giving you this strategy that both you and Teacher Hallie talked about to make you more productive, because we're only providing it because it gets us more labor or more production out of you, or in the case of classrooms, higher student achievement. You can raise test scores. It's like, bro, stop, chill out. That's not the goal here. But like Teacher Hallie's saying, that kind of is the goal of schools right now. And that's the trend, and that's sort of the dominant mantra. So it's being retrofit and used. Tim, you brought this up at the break too, in a lot of ways appropriated and fit onto a neoliberal, and we can break that term down, but basically, you know, teaching our kids to be producers and consumers and to advance, like Teacher Hallie said, to be individual in the individualistic sense. Now here's where that oxymoron comes up for listener out there who maybe knows more about mindfulness than all of us here, but they're saying, they're probably screaming, that's not what mindfulness is, because that's the oxymoron. The key piece is that mindfulness as a philosophy influencing these strategies or these practices is based in interconnectedness and balance. And our classrooms are trying to retrofit something that's about finding resonance, finding balance, finding a way we breathe together, we share space together, we coexist with all the species around us, right? And so that is not like the mindfulness people are like, wait, this is not to increase productivity out of your workers. Right. This is not about making kids better at taking tests. What are you doing with this? So it's more than cultural appropriation. It's like really, it's like any tool can also be a weapon. And I feel like mindfulness curriculums are weaponized on children. And so then we all have this, like, I've had it for years. I have lots of stuff I've written about and talked about in my journey through like why yoga and mindfulness isn't helping me be a better teacher. But because it was like, hey, well, you could do these things and you'll be better at your job. And it's like, when, where, how? And as I learned about those things, I saw that they contradicted, right? Mm. It's like, these two things don't fit together. So if we're on board as a school community or as a school system, or dare we say public education system, where we are going to center wellness in our teachers and in our students, it's going to look way different. And then I think those curriculums complement that setting. But otherwise, when they're, like you both talked about, when they're used for individual gain, that's one, antithetical to their origin and to their purpose. And then two, it's appropriation and it's just bad practice. It's not going to work. So then we're going to say, guess what? This mindfulness stuff didn't work.
Yep.
Like, it didn't apply.
Yep.
Test scores didn't go up. And in fact, probably more students were like learning, and I put some scare quotes up on learning less. And we get back to that. So we call it, we do that mindfulness stuff and they're not learning enough. Because they need to be doing math reading, facts, and children are not robots, right?
Yep. So totally.
That's a little my rant on it.
There's a rant. Let's go to an anonymous texter, though, Teacher Hallie. Love that you're talking about mindfulness as a child of educators. Could not agree more with Teacher Hallie.
Yeah, yeah. Thank
you. It feels good to be agreed with. Yes. It happens so rarely.
The only person who doesn't agree with Teacher Hallie is Tim's neighbor.
That's your nemesis. He's ornery.
I think about, you know, something that I'm really seeing is that we're in this interesting duality right now of like, you know, if I were to say, what's the purpose of school? I feel like there's the camp that's like, you know, to make productive people in our society so that they can go work, so that they can, you know, have this individual achievement. And then the other people are like, well, I don't really know what other people think. You know what I mean? That like don't have a strong, like, but I'm like, is anybody willing to be like, what's the purpose of school? To like make kids well-rounded citizens, to make kids feel good, to make people believe in strength, you know, like believe in their strengths and carry that out. You know what I mean? Like we don't have that language, like for people to even choose that as an option, you know, like I think there's real extreme people, but then I think like average Joe is like, yeah, I'm going to send my kid and they're going to do good in school. Right. And they're going to go off and figure out what they want to do. But I'm like, I do believe those middle people would want their child's well-being to be addressed, but there's no language for them to speak.
Yeah. Thank you, Hallie, because that's it. You're right. My neighbor, you know, there he is again. He's like, okay, wait a minute. I didn't know that school could be for all of that other stuff. I thought it was only about preparing my kids to get a good job, to be compliant, to do achievement. I didn't even know that school could be about well-being, fitting in, learning how to be a compassionate, critical citizen, a good right. neighbor. My neighbor didn't even know that schooling could be about right. being a good neighbor.
And it's interesting because it doesn't, that doesn't exclude like reading, writing, arithmetic, you know, like it's not saying, and no more reading for the children, you know, but I feel like people hear like this well-being and they're like, but then how will children know how to read? You know, and I'm like, no. We're not going to take away like skills, you know.
Like, you got well-being over here. Pick or reading. Right. You pick because you come into my classroom. I'm all about well-being. You go to right. teacher. You go to teacher Hallie if you want reading.
Right. And so I just, it is probably about like, you know, having these conversations, introducing this language, having these conversations, talking with your neighbors.
and being balanced in it and not being like everything isn't full tilt. I think like Hallie, you and Joanna talk about that being dysregulated. Like yeah. We have an obligation to being like a regulated adult, especially as an educator, someone who's found balance and can maintain that in a rather chaotic space. You know, 20 some children in a room, totally mm-hmm. different learners, totally different needs, should be kind of potentially dysregulating.
Oh,
and so
yeah.
we really ought to have the kind of skills that we're often not supported in having or don't have like learning around developing that's really useful. I mean, and then supported in that structure. I mean, I get excited about this because I think there's real potential in these kinds of things. I'm biased, of course, because it's helped me a ton as an educator who has experienced burnout, who has taught in ways that were like awarded and recognized, but weren't healthy and weren't well for me or for children, but they sure did get achievement up and they sure did look good, but it really wasn't good teaching over a long period of time. It wasn't good modeling that. And mindfulness, I think, can offer is an invitation to rethinking how and why. And I love Teacher Hallie that you said, essentially this backs out to what is the purpose of education? Because if the purpose is raising really well people who are adjusted to themselves and one another, who celebrate their differences and know their needs and can communicate those and behave in places together in ways that work, well, then that's different than they need really high test scores, right? And I'm reminded of like, for anyone out there thinking about this, if you go to the very best schools in our country where the elite send their kids and you see the kinds of things that they're experiencing and the kind of flow to their day, you see that we know how to do schooling well and we provide that to the elite because it's awarded and afforded to the very best. There's a classist school system. And then all the rest are just told, you got to make it work in this factory model. And so, you know, in a lot of these ways, if it's good for the very best kids in this very best, quote unquote, most deserving, AKA wealthiest kids in this country, if it's good for them, then it's good for every single kid. And if
well,
it's good,
I'll offer too, like you talking really just made me think about, like, I think a parent's nightmare would be thinking about corralling 25 first graders every day, you know, like the skills that teachers have to be able to not only like get kids to be like 25 7-year-olds in one classroom, but their ability to teach them math and reading and subjectively not the very most fun things, you know, versus like playing outside, being in nature, whatever, is a skill in and of itself. The problem is the system is about the teacher is in charge and you all must comply, right? You know, and so really, if we look at it more of like, what if, like, of course, the adult in the room is going to help set the tone, you know, not saying that like they just let the kids run willy nilly. But if we gave kids that ownership of like, you're in charge of your learning, you're in charge of how your body is, you're, you know, like introducing that language to kids young of like, how can you understand like when you're feeling stressed? You know, if that's the goal, like to talk about this of like, how can you be in control of calming yourself down versus a system set up where like now the teacher has to be in charge and make sure these kids are out of the room and these kids are in the room and this kid is restrained and this kid gets sent out, you know, like it just produces such chaos.
We don't like chaos. We like it any way you want it. Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk. Call her Susan when we get back.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a couple quick tips about how to save on gas. Now, our warm-up tip is that modern cars don't actually need to warm up. Now, I remember feeling pretty smart when I let my 73 Buick Regal run for about 10 minutes before I would head out in the morning. Truth is, if your car was built in the last 30 years, the engine does not need more than 30 seconds to fully warm up. The rest of that time is just you burning money. My main tip today, though, is this. Don't spring for the premium gas. Unless your car specifically calls for high-octane gas, and there will be a note by the gas tank if it does, it's probably just a waste of your money. Now, you might need the 90 to go from Janesville to Madison, but you don't need it in your tank. Putting anything higher than 87 octane in your car is just pouring money down the drain. Get the cheaper stuff. You can feel good about your wallet and your engine. This has been your Work Money Minute. Go to workmoney.org for more tips on how to save. Take good care.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Yep. Busted pencils. Holy. Leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 855-752-4842. Caller Susan calling from her garden. Man, Susan, what's happening in the garden?
Oh, I'm just digging up a lot of roots out here, so I'm putting plants in. So I love digging. It's very mindful and gets me centered. But anyway, yeah. I love the show. I always like the talk that you have, but I was just thinking about mindfulness. My kids, my one set of kids who have children, you know, if their kids, their little child is very, he gets upset easily sometimes. So they'll just send him out and say, well, okay, you can go run around the block or do something, but you got to calm yourself down. So in school settings, it's not easy to do that. So how do teachers navigate that?
Well, what I've typically seen, so thank you for calling. What I've typically seen in elementary levels is, you know, teachers get to know their students. And then if a student who does have more energy requires, like, you know, that running around or movement, they'll get connected with an educational assistant, or there's like a set room. They'll call it like a mindfulness room, or, you know, that they'll like try to accommodate that as best as they can, but it is more of like a removal from the classroom, not like punitively, but just like, you know, removal. But then once you've calmed down, please come back, because that's what I always mean by like, please come back. We have reading to do, as opposed to, you know, and that's to me, like, I think, right, given the constraints and the within the system, that is like the best I think teachers can do. Because they are so scripted and so put on a timeline of like, this is what needs to happen at this time. You know what I mean? Like without any kind of thinking about like, well, what if little Billy needs to take a break? And what if Sandy needs to cry? You know, it's just like, nope, get to back to the curriculum. So I think teachers are doing the best that they can, and they give them kids space and they understand that. But then we have a system that doesn't understand that we need that space.
Yeah. And I love that Susan's calling from the garden, and Teacher Hallie speaks to this. It's very common that so many children, not even just, you know, your child's children and that young man, this is really common. And you know what, if you're in spaces that allow for the learning space to be recognizing of different needs. And I love that Susan's calling from a garden. So I got to teach with a school garden, classroom garden, and I had, you know, students got to build bikes and they got to do energy things in the classroom where like we could have powered things by storing up like generators, by riding bikes that we built, and you could move and you could be active while we were learning together. Or you could take, be like, hey man, I need to move. Right. And so we built that learning environment around needs where we could, one, be in a multi-species setting, two, be in a place that's not about sitting in our seat. There is options to sit in our seat, because sometimes we do need to just sit in the seat, get something done, but you can also do by moving. And so, or you might need, and this is teaching, like, I got to teach high schoolers, so it's a little bit different. But like Teacher Hallie said, empowering young people to know their needs and then have that option there. Like if you needed to get up and go get on a bike and burn some energy, like, cool. It's like you could even co-regulate with people. You could say, hey, my man, like, looks like you need to burn off a little energy. Why don't you take 5 minutes on the bike? Not as a punishment, but hey, you want to go? And yes, they just kind of walk over and move that. Now, other spaces I taught in, it just built up and it landed with explosions and meltdowns. We were creating behavior problems all the time in schools. And I think that's by and large happening over and over again. And again, comes back to what Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna share all the time. Dr. Tim Slecker, you talk about this, the teacher exodus, when teachers just had enough. Like they can see that we're contributing to these unfair behaviors and then punishing children for kind of natural responses given who they are and what they're going through. So it's really, once you start to see the setup, it gets really hard to be in schools. And that's on us, folks. And I say us, like, we can do schooling differently.
Yeah, I'll add to it, really depends on, right, the philosophy of the adults, quote unquote, running the system. Do you know what I mean? Like, I, you know, when I was teaching, like, we had a set time where kids would walk every day. And then that inspired one of our friends who taught fifth grade of, like, she's like, I could spend an hour trying to teach this math lesson to get, you know, like, to kids who are riled up, or I could go on a walk for 10 minutes around the block. And then we can, you know, like, and it wasn't just like get to math, but it was just more of that concept of meeting the child's needs. So it just makes me think about, like, what is the purpose of schooling right now? I think it's about, like, thinking about, like, how do we meet the ideologies of the adults that are in charge versus meeting the actual needs of the kids.
Man, Teacher Hallie, way to drop that, man. Some power. Power. Got an anonymous text comment to either make cogs in the machine and enables kids to explore their interests and heart you guys. I think that means love you guys. Thank you, anonymous. Thank you, anonymous texter. Johnny, you may, I'm wondering with this, you know, mindfulness and an anonymous texter, Susan calling from the garden, man, makes me think about the potential.
Exactly.
You know what,
I think about where we were a couple weeks ago and where if you're in Madison, you could go, or if you're in Northern Wisconsin, I just saw on the internet too, you could pop by, you know, the Minocqua Brewing Company up there, but Minocqua Tap House in Madison is great. Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Man, progressive beer. Teacher Hallie, she's got that look like, man, I could really head out there right now. You know, you're saying, just in case somebody's like, what? Hallie's riled up. She was at a meeting before this. You know what, Hallie, I'm thinking like this. You need to go to this meeting before every Wednesday to bring you in with this energy here tonight. Just bringing the energy. And yeah, man, we wanna clone that laugh because, man, it comes from the heart, and it's just so expressive, man. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, thank you, caller Joanne, caller Susan. Continue enjoying that garden work, talking about really taking care of your own mental health and well being. You know, anybody, and Johnny, relating the idea too of a kid's garden in schools and the ability to do this, moving particularly out of that system called schooling, right? Man, educators amplified. Teacher Hallie in the house, loving it. Busted Pencils. Hey, tomorrow night, Idaho. It's not just for potatoes and French fries.
Oh my gosh! This guy. Not just for potatoes.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Thursday, that's Friday Eve, to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We're doing early grievances because we're only committing to Thursday at this point. See you on the radio.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.